0TR.
Good evening for Man or Beast. What are you doing out this evening in 0TR, Tom? K and 4BWA.
Well, I got a load of goodies in Santa's sleigh here, my Tacoma. We're headed down to Amy's, the granddaughters, and going to celebrate Christmas dinner with them. And got a freezer full of homemade ice cream and all kinds of baked goods. Now, how's your day, Steve?
Wet.
The trigger. Didn't take long to answer that one. Well, here's your tip of the day. And tomorrow when you answer that, you can say wet and cold.
Well, listen, I got a call from my brother in Alpharetta, Georgia, just about 20, 30 minutes ago, and he said it was 57 degrees when he went into the grocery store, and when he came out a half an hour later, it was 42. That's 15 degrees drop in a half an hour, and he says the winds are starting to really rip and roar, so I think that's what's going to come roaring through here. Alpharetta, I would guesstimate that's going to be about 4 hours from now.
Right, Steve. Oh, by the way, UPS come just, about 20 minutes ago. I'm glad. I didn't want to leave that item sitting out on the in the carport. At least they delivered and put it in the right place now instead of out on the front porch where everybody can have porch pirates. If I'm not home, I can't get a good shot.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, mine came too. And as soon as I get back home and get a couple of things ripping and roaring here with a little bit of electronics, I'm going to go out there to the shed and I'm going to install that thing this evening. Which, I tell you what, it's going to be, if it's as good as that other one, oh baby, I can't wait.
I didn't hear about that one. I didn't really notice that one. I noticed that one had a circuit board, but it said you had to program it. But I went back and looked at that after you mentioned it last night. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I had a lot of nice conversations this morning. I talked to Wyatt, which I doubt if you know him yet. He's one of the main caretakers of the repeater, or used to be in the old days. I don't know if he still does that or not, but he works down at Donaldson on the approach systems and that, the electronics for the Donaldson Airport. And he was going out because their glide slope shot traps this morning. And I talked to Hotel X-Ray Sierra, Dave. And that was real enjoyable. Just had a few nice conversations. And then I went down and worked on a chicken light for the rest of the time. I found it in my junk pile, and it's an LED. So I wasn't going out and install it today. Make no mistake about that.
Hey, Tom, do you use a heat lamp for your chickens?
No, they've never needed it, Steve, and we did research on that. And I know Molly, who we talked to up in Wisconsin, my son-in-law's mom, just a while ago, she don't either, as far as I know. And they seem to survive quite well.
Okay. And, yeah, I did talk to Wyatt the other day, and he was telling me about the FAA plane did not make it up. They've got some sort of new something over there at Dremel-Spartanburg. And he said that rumor has it one of the pilots monkeyed with something on the airplane and the plane's broke and they wouldn't make it up yesterday. Sounds like an initiated early vacation.
Stuff's kind of like yours, and you got to have inspectors come in and check it out now and then. I'm watching this traffic. I just crossed Wade Hampton. It seemed to be pretty light. It's picked up a little bit down here. We're on 14, I guess you call it, in Buncombe. I get them mixed up still after 10 years. anyways, down here by Honeywell. Yeah, that's the kind of work you got to have an overseer once in a while, check things out, and I know you do too. So see that things are in parameters, and yeah, Greenville's got an awesome approach system. We were talking a little bit about that. Of course, like Wyatt said, he said, I'm not a pilot, and I understand that, but he has a lot of insight on those things, and I find it interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Greenville-Spartanburg has got such an approach system that, you know, the big cargo aircraft out of Charleston Air Force, Greenville-Spartanburg is where they come to do their qualifications. And they had, what is the big cargo aircraft that replaced the C-5? Is it a 130 or a 135? Something like that, anyhow. They had those flying out there yesterday in a KV-4 HXS. Dave, he was out there helping me some stuff, and he looked up and saw one of those things. Oh, my God, that's the biggest thing I've ever seen in the air.
The Galaxy's still the biggest one, the C-5. Those are C-17s, and they will lift quite a lot more than the C-130. And my nephew used to fly those before he quit the Air Force and he was working for American at the same time when he got his training. And he flew C-130s in the first Iraq War. But after 11 years, he decided to get out of it. His wife wanted him to. I imagine he's sorry he did now, but I wouldn't bet on that. Been too many wars since then. But, it's massive, and its lift capacity is massive, but it still won't lift what the C-5A will.
W2T bubble.
There, Rusty.
Well, who was in there irritating Tom this afternoon? Hello, Steve. And hello again, Tom. I've already talked to you once today, or twice, maybe. Anyway, on my way to church, get everything opened up and ready for the Christmas Eve service at 5 this afternoon and all. How are you doing, Steve?
Well, we had Christmas breakfast for all the family this morning. We had including me and Sue, we had 9, 10. And, I got to cook my breakfast for everybody, and we just had a ball. They all went home about 12 or 1 o'clock, so me and Sue were just kind of kicking back and watching the inside of our eyelids and kind of thinking about what might be coming tonight. Oh, by the way, Tom, when my brother called, he said they had granular snow. It looked like little BBs falling. I said, Scott, that's granular hail, bud. So they've already got some frozen stuff going on.
Surprised me. Preceding snow or whatever, but I don't know exactly where Alpharetta's at. I've certainly heard of it. But, we could see some flurries, they said, and it's supposed to be 19 in the morning, but the wind chill is supposed to be in the single digits. So you're right on, Steve. And by the way, the P-8 Poseidons come up here and practice also. And they're pure D gray. I mean, nothing on the side of them but navy. And you got to be close to see that. And they're what's replacing the P-3 Orions like I used to ride in, the 4-engine turboprop. But they're a 737. In fact, they got them in the budget that Trump hasn't yet approved, but he will. For 10 more of them, I think they're really expensive planes. I know ours was $9.5 million back in 1967, 68, along in that area. So I can't imagine the price now. Probably $20, $30, $40 million. But they make two variants. One of them's in a submarine, and one of them is Elant, or a Snoop. And they practice quite a bit up here, and then I see the Air Force's KC-135s, I guess it is. They look like a 707. And they practice out here, too. Mainly, I'm sure, if they got new pilots, they got 11,000 foot of runway to land on out here.
Yeah, I'm sure they can land just about anything out of Greenville Spartanburg. I mean, if they can bring those largest Antonovs in there, they can fly about anything in there.
7-3, guys, I'm at the church, W2T.
Enjoy. Talk to you later, Rusty. W2TN0TR Mobile. And we're right now at the end of runway 4 now, Steve. Yes, they can. I've talked to the Russian fellas that flew the Antonovs one time out here. And they go over there to, what's the name of that piggy's restaurant now and then? Right down the road. What is it? Mutt's Restaurant. It's got a pig out in front of it, though. And the flight crews go down there and eat at times from the P-8s and P-3s and all of those, military. They got pictures of them on the wall. But, yeah, we came here one night in a thunderstorm from Michigan, and, I mean, it was a rip-snorting thunderstorm. And I asked the captain after we landed, I said, when did you break out? And he said, 250 feet. And I think 200 is their minimum, but it could be 100 even, Steve. They got a tremendous IFR system here.
They've been installing some new antennas over there. And I think they've got one of these absolute latest approach systems. It's some sort of vectored something or other. And from what I understand, they can just put you on the ground just about. It's supposed to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah, and there's there always was threshold antennas out there. You always get a beep of 3,000 hertz or 1,000 hertz, I think it was, tone as you come over the threshold. But, yeah, they can get down. But this was a rip-snorting thunderstorm and lightning. I was surprised he went ahead and didn't wave off. It was pretty bad. And, you know, I've landed on aircraft carriers in bad weather. And I got to tell you, this was bad. And he brought it right on down. I'm sure it can be almost zero because the F-18s and different Navy aircraft now have an automatic landing system. And if the pilots choose to use it, it'll bring you in on a carrier.
So what do they call those that you flew in and out of on the carrier, an ACOG?
No, it was called an S-2 Grumman Tracker. It was made by Grumman. There was four of us on it. And two officers and two enlisted men. And then the bigger plane was the P-3 Orion, and there was 13 of us on that as a general flight crew.
Yeah, well, that's the specific type, but the air mission is called ACOG, aircraft, or something or other, cargo, and something or other. Anyhow, that's what a friend of mine used to call that run when they would go out to the carrier and bring personnel on and off, and said it was an ACOG run.
Oh, no, that's the COD, Carrier Onboard Delivery Plane, and they use a C something or other now. Back then, they used, it varied according to the carrier you was on. I was on an older one, and they would use a variant of the S-2 back then. The planes I flew in were anti-submarine warfare planes, ASW, was the primary. And then electronic countermeasures was the other. And they had two different P-3s. One of them was ASW, and one of them was an EP-3. And it's the sloop, like the Air Force has got. They look like a KC-135 or a 707, and they're sloop aircraft. But ours are now the P-8 Poseidon that do the ELINT stuff, which is electronic countermeasures and super secret stuff. I ran electronic countermeasures, but we didn't have anything that was active at that time. We had passive countermeasures and could tell a lot about every single parameter of the enemy's radar. Suffice it to say, if there was a MiG on our tail, I knew it.
But you flew in the submarine hunters, right?
Yes, yes. But we had electronic countermeasures, even on the S-2. However, the S-2 was what they called an ALD-2 Bravo. It was more or less a direction finder, and so we had to memorize all of the different radar scans and their parameters in our head so we know what they were. And pulse repetition frequencies and pulse widths and yada, yada, yada. Whereas the P-3, I had two scopes, and one of the scopes you could look at and take a picture, back then with a Polaroid. But it was all secret, and they've sufficed that, I'm sure, in the last 50 years.
Sure, I'm sure. Yeah, Timothy... My son worked on some P-3s for a very short time down at, what's the name of that field down there? Just out of Jacksonville with the Navy. I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't Mayport. It was over there, Cecil Field.
That field, never been there. After I got down on the East Coast, I went to the West Coast and flew out of San Diego, and then later on out of Mountain View, California. But when we was on the carrier, we flew out of NAS North Island, right down there by Point Loma, stuck out in the ocean.
And you loved it.
And I might have stayed in had I not got married, but I got married, and I wanted to be with Mama and not the USN.
Hey, what? A friend of mine that I went to high school with, he went into the Air Force, and, buddy, let me tell you what, he made captain in 7 years, and he was the mathematics guy. And he actually went out and did surveying for waypoints for some of the first GPS systems. And Barry was a smart, smart guy. And his wife just flat told him, said, "Well, we're not doing that anymore. You're going to come on back and get home and get us a job." And that was the end of his career.
You know, whatever job you got, the good thing about it is you don't get shot at. So, kudos to him and his wife. I don't know. It just takes a special person. My brother stayed in, and he was made Master Chief, but he also lost his wife and kids. And it's a rough life. It's a hard life. They give of themselves a tremendous amount. People don't realize the heartbreak and separation. I just couldn't have done it. I'm too much of a wuss.
Well, right. It does take a special kind of person. It takes a special kind of dedication by a family to be able to put up with that. But you know what? It's better now because the military is recognized the fact that, you know, if you want to keep the better people, you got to keep up with the families too. So base housing and all that kind of stuff, it's a whole lot better.
Back then sucked. It wasn't so good. Well, that's funny, that horse out there with that coat on over there. Looked funny with his white head sticking out. We're down here where you know where we're at, down here right near Amy's here in the Mahaffey Plantation. But, yeah, and the good thing is now, you know, it took days and weeks at times to get your mail and that before you ever heard from your loved ones, and a lot can happen in between then. I used to send 3-inch audio tapes back to Bernice, and she'd send them back to me. And I got one left, I think. I'd like to find one of those old tape recorders, but I don't know if I want to listen to it or not. Probably mostly lovey-dovey stuff. Anyway, Steve, we've arrived here, and I think in hindsight I made the right decision, and it was a great experience, but it's nice to be a civilian. I wouldn't want to be a cop either. Those poor suckers, they give it all. Highway patrol, sheriffs, police, all of them. You couldn't pay me to do that anymore. God bless them. Steve, have a Merry Christmas. We're here. We got to unload 70 trees. Thanks for riding along. KN4VWA and 0TR.
KN4VWA. Tom, have a Merry Christmas. Be safe, be healthy, bud. And I probably won't catch you again until Saturday or Sunday, if even then. Merry Christmas. I'm clear.